I am interviewing a fellow Ryan Cowlier from the ChatGPT report. He goes deep into a lot of the nuances to AI that I don't focus on his show. And so wanted to share that with you today. We get into some really, really cool things, some of his best guests, some of the unique things that he's never seen or heard anywhere else. We talk about some things to watch out for. So I think you'll enjoy this episode. It's a little different than what we normally do in terms of a founder, but love Ryan's perspective and really enjoyed it. Hope you do too. How do you grow like a VC-backed company without taking on investors? Do you want to create a lifestyle business, a performance business, or an empire? How do you scale to an exit without losing your freedom? Those are the questions, and this show is the answer. I have a very special guest with me today. I have another Ryan Cowlier, who's on today, the host of the ChatGPT Report, which is a fellow podcast brethren of mine, if you will, nails the news when it comes to like real-time information, specifically with AI, all the trends and news and happenings. Ryan, welcome. Happy to have you on the show, man.
Happy to be here. Really am. I you came on my show earlier, so I thought I'd have to come on yours. So this is fantastic.
Dude,
to be
I'm excited, man. Like, I love the different perspective, how deep you go on to the topics. So real excited to have you on, man. So let's talk about it. There's been a lot that's happened, and we are recording this in, I think it was actually February 21st of 2024. So there's been a shitload that's happened in the last week. But, you know, I'd like to hear about, from your perspective, what are you most excited about as a whole that you're seeing that you've dug into, and would love your perspective on that, man.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Sora thing has been just hitting the news like crazy right now. But I think the thing I'm more excited about is this Midjourney X, formerly Twitter, partnership. Because I'm really big, if you listen to my show at all, if you've heard me talk on this, I'm very big on ecosystems, because there's so many AI tools out there right now that you got to go to six different places to piece together one thing. And so I'm all about keeping it under one house, trying to figure that out. And if Midjourney can partner with X and Twitter, I think that's going to be a massive jump. And also too, I wonder, you know, Midjourney does a lot of image generation that DALL-E doesn't do because they get into copyright issues. And Midjourney kind of lets you fly by the seat of your pants. And on Twitter, I feel like they would let you, they'd still let that go. I don't know how copyright stuff works, but again, that's the big thing I'm excited about. The big thing that happened this week that I'm most excited about, obviously Sora, but we have not yet to get our hands on that. So that is yet to be determined from my perspective.
Well, yeah. So let's talk about that, man. I might even leverage some sound effects. I got the media key open here on the podcast, you know, studio that I'm in right now. And so anyways, if you don't get thrown anew if I drop some of that in. So, right? Like, look at this, man. Like, you know, we could do this. If Ryan tells a bad one, we could just leverage something like this, you know, where we got the old drum joke, you know, if you will, right? Where it's just like so cheesy.
That is
anyways,
great.
I'm like,
it's so cheesy. But
what you're talking about, man, there's so much cool tech. Sometimes you forget about the basics, right? So anyways, talk to me about the Midjourney X Twitter partnership, because I haven't discussed that with you yet, right? So walk us through what's encompassing that, what's it about, like, and would love your perspective on where you think it's going to take things.
Yeah, so it's just been kind of news headlines right now. There hasn't been anything directly with it, but they're just going to allow users to create and share just more AI-generated images within the app. And if you know anything about Midjourney, they do it on Discord, which, if you're not in tech, is not a very, I would say, user-friendly app. I think once you get into it, you're fine. You can get working around it, but it's really, you kind of got to know what you're doing. And so I think with the integration with, I think it's more with Grok than anything with their chatbot over there. And so you'll be able to create images through that, just like how you do when you're on ChatGPT, and you can, you go through the DALL-E in ChatGPT, it's already in there. And so that's the collaboration they're looking at. So in Grok, you could probably say, hey, create for me an image of a podcast studio, right? And then create one for you. And I'm most excited about this too, simply because I think Midjourney really is the king right now. I mean, DALL-E's good. Midjourney is just phenomenal, especially if you're looking for, if you're a designer too, because they give you so many options. If you're unfamiliar with it, Midjourney gives you 4 pictures and you can upscale or have it do another version of that picture. And then you can do so much more. You can generative fill, all these things. And for a non-designer like myself, I can make pretty good images. If you're a true designer, you can kill it in there because there's so many different options. So I'm more curious how they're going to integrate the design piece of Midjourney into that. Because right now, if it's just, hey, you can create images, that's great. But I'm wondering if they keep the same design on from the Discord to Grok, if obviously if it happens, because they're still just in talks. I hope it happens, because if, I mean, I just want, you know, from user experience, that's what I'm all about. Imagine sitting on Twitter, you go, or X, I keep calling it Twitter, but everyone does. You go on X, you go to Grok, you get some, you know, get some news items there, make some pictures, and you're all right there. You're not moving from it. So that's I may have been a little long-winded there, but that's kind of the background, what people are looking forward to, and at least what I'm looking forward to in it. I mean, do you have any? I know you said you hadn't heard too much about it, but what are your thoughts?
A couple things, man. So do you know how much Midjourney makes per employee? Have you heard this at all?
I do not.
Dude, they make $5 million per employee. Like, so they have like 20 employees. I think they're a $100 million company. So that's a pretty good cheddar right there for that. So that's one aspect. Second question. I'm sorry, I'm answering your question with 2 questions, right? The other one is, have you used Grok at all? That's probably the one main tool I have not used yet. What's your perspective on that?
So I don't hate it. There's a lot of flack out there for it because I don't think it is as good as the ChatGPT, even though you can make an argument that ChatGPT has its moments where it's very, you know, you read it and you go, yeah, that was written by ChatGPT. That was pretty easy. I think people aren't huge fans of it because it's got a little, it can be sarcastic at times. You can tone that down. I think the big thing is for it though, is that people don't realize is when you put questions and answer, or, you know, asking questions to it, it'll give you links to different X articles that have been on the site. So it's almost like going to a deep dive in YouTube, right? You look at something, all of a sudden you find another link and you're there, and you're just digging down deep, and you can do it pretty seamlessly. Mm-hmm. So if I had to rank it, I would consider it higher than some of the other ones. You know, Bard Gemini has been such a letdown in my opinion. I think it does all right, but when you go deep into it, it really doesn't, I don't think it does a great job. Now, for the audience, I just want perspective here. I'm not a coder. I'm not a back-end coder. I don't do a lot of these deep dives on back-end systems. So a lot of times I hear critiques of ChatGPT going, well, can't do code as well as Bard. I don't really know about the code aspect. Mm-hmm. I know about the front-end information, and I think it does a really good job, especially for research. Now, then you have to decide, is the information on X viable information? Because it does give you a lot of links to other tweets and stuff like that. So is it really good information or not really? I don't hate it, though. I actually like
it. Well, let me ask you this. And what would you say do you think are like the top 3 use cases for Grok, right? Like that you're envisioning based on what you've seen and using it so far?
That's a good question. I will say keep your ecosystem in for your news. You know, when I wake up, when I go, this X is like kind of my news page. Hey, what's going on in the world? I think you can go right to it, ask it a couple questions. Hey, what are the top 5 news stories that I need to know? And then you can give it, you know, examples like, hey, I care about what kind of wars are going on, what kind of energy crisis are we running into, and it'll give you pretty decent like answers trending? On that. So I think for news,
like trending, like the top trending and stuff like that. Okay, so like mm-hmm. one level deeper.
And it's not just trending on the side. Yeah, it's not just trending on the side. You can ask it, and it'll give you different options for it. I think number 2, I think it does give you a different perspective when you're summarizing things. I think a lot of people go right to ChatGPT when you summarize different articles. Hey, can you give me a quick summary of this? And Grok can actually give you links to, hey, this might be helpful based on what you've given me here. So it actually spits out a little bit more, I think, than ChatGPT in that regard. And then finally, if they integrate with Midjourney, I think they're gonna do extremely well in that regard, because if you can generate images there, again, the ecosystem, like I talked about, you just sit right in there. But if you're looking at, you know, all these large language models, I don't really know if you could, you know, what is the other one that you use a lot of? You've talked before, Claude. I'm not as familiar with how all three of those would compete with each other. Cause sometimes you put them all three in, then, you know, Grok gives a good answer, and then you go to ChatGPT and it gives a better answer on another summary that you have. And then you go to Claude and you go, oh, that was actually way better. So comparing them, I think, is really tough. I think I'll tell you honest right now, you know, I use ChatGPT for almost everything. Mm-hmm. I use Grok for, like I said, the news items, little here and there. It hasn't become my go-to.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were three, I think, is a lot though. I think I've got one or two, but three's a lot.
Well, so check this out, man. I got, like, to answer your question. So first of all, about Midjourney, I think it's great. Yeah, there is a little barrier in terms of usability with the Discord channel and how fast it moves if you're in a channel trying to keep up with what you created. And I'm sure there's better ways to do it. But, like, yeah, the image creation is unparalleled. And, like, I actually just wrote a post about this on LinkedIn. I'm popping in about, like, how to implement AI with your family, right? Like, how to integrate AI into your family. And I use it with my, what I do with my kids is on the weekends, sometimes we'll test different tools and make it fun and experimental. And the stuff that my kids created on Midjourney was amazing. Now, the other thing that I would say is, like, I love kind of the concept of Twitter and real-time trending for data. Like, I could see maybe where he's going with it, to have a real-time trending user-generated platform that they could create media articles about. I would guess that's where the combination with the visuals is going, right? And they could eventually go into video. Mm-hmm. So, but to take a step back, like, so ChatGPT is the primary engine I've used in the past. Now, I did do a side-by-side comparison of ChatGPT and then Gemini Advanced. So I tried that, and I was actually really impressed with that, right? The advanced version. Oh, yeah, nice. It was impressive, man. I mean, like, I did a side-by-side, and there's some things it was beating GPT on, which surprised me. And I tested it from...
Now, is it beating it on... like stats wise, or just are these like, how is it beating it in terms of, like, wow, that just looks better?
Yeah. So I tried it, and I did this. Yeah. I did this quick. I did it on two sides. I did it one, like, overall, and then I did one on image generation to see, like, what the differential was. So the overall one was interesting. I basically, ironically, had to create a startup in the voice of Elon Musk and provide ideation on that on both ChatGPT side and Gemini, right? Advanced. So I have ChatGPT Plus versus Gemini Advanced. It's kind of funny because the Gemini Advanced had more personality than ChatGPT. And when they gave the answer, it was pretty good, right? With the startup ideas it created. Then what I did is I had it create logos. And the interesting thing is ChatGPT followed instructions better. But the image generation on Gemini was much faster, right? So there was that, right? There's, like, all these little kind of microcosms. And then I think I had to do one other step. Oh, create, like, a 30, 60, 90 day plan. So it was, like, tied on that when it created that. So, however, on the image generation side, it was interesting. Like, it was very, very close. So I think my point is, and why I'm saying this is, like, it went from, like, ChatGPT had, like, a mile advantage in the race, in my opinion, to now they might have, like, you know, a few steps in the process, right? And I see this, like, getting boiled down to a lot of different things. Like, you know, talk about ecosystems. Microsoft Copilot, ChatGPT, that's Microsoft, right? Google's going to have the Google Workspace ecosystem, right? Google Drive, Google Sheets, Google Gmail. They're also going to have YouTube, right? And so that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And then,
that's a big
and then
one.
You got the other, which is Twitter with real-time trending news, and then Midjourney. You know, so I get what you're saying. So what's your perspective on Copilot, though? That's something that I know you mentioned to me a little bit earlier. Would be curious on what you're seeing with that.
Yeah, I mean, they still have kept it. It's for the only enterprise users right now. As of this record, you can pay for it and stuff. So I haven't really gotten into it too much. But what I've heard from people saying is that they're really liking it, especially for more so the PowerPoint, the, you know, the Word and Excel. It can do a lot in there. But it's one of those things that I've said before on my show that that's where I really think you'll see people start to use AI more normally, because all of a sudden, if you're in Copilot in a company, you've never, you know, worked with large language models or anything, and Microsoft Word is like, hey, would you like me to help summarize this report for you? You're going to probably take it up on its offer and go, wow, that was incredible. Or, you know, with Excel, help me crunch this data and tell me what's going on. And so I haven't really played with it at all. I've heard some people talk about it, and they really like it for what they're using it for. But then, like you said, Google's got its ecosystem with its suite of products, and that's kind of doing a little bit of what I think Copilot was supposed to do. So it's this weird, I don't know who's really winning that battle around, because Copilot's just talked about a lot. You see it out there a lot. Google kind of slid in their AI pieces a little, I wouldn't say without fanfare, but a little secretively. And you know, even when I write up episodes for my show and stuff, there's always that little thing there going, hey, let me help you with this. And I use it all the time because it's just right there instead of copy and pasting it into ChatGPT. And again, that goes back to my whole point, like, what's the easiest thing to do? You know, Control C is super easy, but just a click is even easier. Mm-hmm. So it really is whatever software you're in. But yeah, I really don't have much of a take on Copilot other than I want to see more people using it, because right now I especially when I'm looking for real takes on it, I'm seeing a lot of people say, you know, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And you're like, okay, this isn't a real opinion. Like I want someone that's really using it. But some of the, yeah, that's like I said, I can't go too deep into that, but I do think it'll change a lot of aspects, especially maybe in the consulting world too, where, you know, you're making a lot of decks and things of that nature.
Yeah. The native integration is definitely going to be huge. And that's kind of what I see happening, right? Like the Google Workspace migrating towards that, Microsoft Office, people migrating mm-hmm. towards that. Right. So definitely see that with that. Hello, this is Ryan here. Real quick, if you are enjoying this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a comment or review. If you want more help or just want to learn more about what the top SaaS CEOs and founders are doing, check out my website at www.ryanstaley.io. Join my newsletter, check out other free content resources I have there, and let me know if you want to scale your business. Now back to the episode. So what about outside of those core tools? Like what else are you excited about that you've been seeing and researching and looking into?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to kind of stray away from the core groups, because they really are so powerful. I think what I'm seeing is, when we first came out, it was 2 years ago when we started looking at everything, everything was incredible, all this stuff. And now you're starting to see groups form, and it's like, these guys are really good at this stuff, and you're starting to see littler groups fall off, I'd say. Things aren't as cool anymore, because it's like, oh, that's neat. Okay, yeah, I've seen that before, and I hate that, because, you know, when it first came out, I was like, this is incredible. So it's just one of those things where right now I'm really focused on the main guys. I think what I'm really excited about are actually like the Humane AI pin. We just interviewed a guy from Brilliant Labs on the Frame, which is another glasses augmented stuff. And all those things coming out, I'm very excited really? About, because Google Glass 10 years ago tried it, but they did not have the backing of large language models and these ChatGPTs and Geminis to combine into it. Because back then it basically was doing Google searches for you with the glasses, right? Now there's much more information that can go into these things, and it's exciting because there's all these little companies. It reminds me of when we used to have old phones. Remember when you used to have a little phone and it was this small company that did it, and then someone else would have a different mm-hmm. phone, and it was all these different design ideas, and they were all weird, and you're like, this is such. And then, you know, we finally got to the iPhone, and you know, what's the other one everyone has? I have an iPhone, clearly. Was it the Microsoft phone, whatever they have out there? You know what I'm talking about?
Wait, which one? Which one are you talking about?
What's the competitor with iPhone? I'm blanking here right now.
Oh, you're talking about the Google phone, right?
The Samsung, I'm sorry. You've only got now two basic phones,
yeah.
Right? And back in the day, you had all these. So we're in that stage of there's all these technologies coming into play. Mm-hmm. And who's gonna win out? You know, is it going to be Apple's Vision Pro because they're such a powerhouse? Or is a small group like Rabbit going to come in and upheave them? I don't know. And it's fun seeing the base of that. And all the demos and stuff are coming out. And right now it's hard to say which one's better because they're all demos. No one's really gotten their hands on some. But I'm really excited for the end of the year to look back and go, that demo was really bad. It looked great. Product was terrible. That one was awesome. This will kind of integrate into everyday life. So that's really what I'm looking into more than anything is what do they call it? The AI hardware.
Really? Okay. So yeah, it's funny. I just saw something about Brilliant Labs in Trends the other day, which is HubSpot's publication on that. So what was the key output from your interview, what were you most impressed with when you interviewed the founder over there?
Yeah, I think what I was most impressed with and what I appreciated was more, he kind of gave his team a lot of credit because he was like, this was our baby. We really worked on this. And I think I was more impressed with that they really went with design. Are you actually going to wear this in public? You know, the Apple Vision Pro, you look like a goober, honestly. Like, come on. I don't care what it does. You kind of look weird. You look like a, there's a book called Ready Player One where
exactly.
Everyone's got the headsets on. You know, it looks goofy. And his design with the glass, like the glasses look, I think that's kind of the way of the future. Because if you can get away with different designs too, people won't even know you're wearing it. And so I was more impressed with that they put design and customer experience first. I liked how he had mentioned that in the interview too. He said, you know, we really care about the customer experience. And the design there. So I was most impressed with that stuff. And, you know, if anyone knows me, I'm a guy that likes will the user actually use it? You know, Vision Pro can do all these fancy things, use a bunch of fancy words, but is the user actually going to use it and will they enjoy it too? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to enjoy the Vision Pro. I might eat my words in a year when I get one, when it's affordable, right? But who knows?
Yeah. I mean, so I've used the meta version of that. Basically VR headset, because my son had it, and it was one of those things too that, you know, and nobody's really talking about this, and this might just be biology, but like after you use it for like 12-15 minutes, like you feel like you want to take it off because it like messes with your sense and almost like your equilibrium. Not that you get dizzy, but you just, it doesn't feel right, you know what I mean? And so I wonder if that's on the Vision Pro too, where it's like, there's that whole, like, I don't even know what it's called, but yeah, it messes with your time and space pendulum, if you will. That makes sense.
It's funny you bring that up, because my dad, he was in the Army for years, so he keeps track of all this stuff. And he said a couple years ago, the Army tried to get it to where soldiers were wearing the headsets. It truly is like a sci-fi movie where it can pick out, you know, individuals and stuff like that. And he said the problem they kept dealing with was that people kept throwing up. He said they'd wear it for 20 minutes, half hour, and they kept throwing up. And the military at the time was like, oh, you guys will get over it. You know, just kind of like how pilots, you know, sometimes you just kind of get over it. And they said it never caught on because they can't, like I said, people kept getting sick from it. And so to your point, I wonder how long you can really do it until they come up with a design that doesn't mess up your equilibrium.
Yeah, no, it's true, man. It's very true. So let's go back to the Brilliant thing. So like that picture, yeah, it looks slick. I think it's pretty sharp at the way they designed it. It looks like Ray-Bans, like really, if you kind of look at it. So what's the whole concept? Like, what does it do? What's the expectation that it's going to provide? All those kind of ideas.
Yeah, the expectation is basically an assistant. It's basically like having a large language model like a ChatGPT in your head. And I believe they teamed with Perplexity on this, if I'm not mistaken. And they're the ones providing all the information with that. So in regards to it, you look at something and you just say, hey, what are the, you know, they're one of their examples where they had a bunch of raspberries and it was like, what is the calorie count of this raspberries, right? And it came up and it had a heads up display and told you what it was. So it's basically an assistant. And then you can make notes on it, kind of just like the Humane AI pen. So that's where I'm kind of interested to see really where they stand out, because to me, it seems like all these ones kind of sound very similar. You know, Humane and Rabbit were pushed as, well, you know, the pen, they were pushed as you don't need a headset so you can live in a world digitally without your phone. And their example was you're not having your phone in front of you, but you can sit there and watch a sports game and go, hey, you know, what is Kevin Durant's average rebounds for the past 10 games? And, you know, it'll tell you. And so you're not in front of your phone. But then these headsets, it's right in front of you instead of holding your phone. So, you know, that's really where I'm trying to figure out. All of them have the same input, the same large language models, figuring all this stuff. What is really going to differentiate them in the end? Is it simply going to be sleekness, or, hey, I don't want heads up display, I prefer this, or I like the heads up display, I don't like this? I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that question. So I'm just a consumer. So in that regard, I really don't know where we go with it. And I don't know, you know, you might like the headset and I might like the pen, and that's where we go on from there.
Well, dude, I think the pen's a massive invasion of privacy, because people have,
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. People have no idea they're being recorded. Like that could get goofy with that. Maybe with the glasses too. I don't know if it records it with the glasses, or how does it, or is it just on command?
Well, see, that's the thing. The Humane AI pen, you touch it to record. That's what they say. Oh, okay. But with the glasses, I'm pretty sure you have to say like record or touch it as well. But is it always listening?
Right.
You know, like to your point.
Yeah.
So I read a really interesting article the other day, and I say interesting article, it was on X, like I Googled this thing now. And it said there's going to be multi-billion-dollar industries to get you away from your phone, and there's multi-billion-dollar industries that are trying to get you to stay on your phone, and they will not be the same company. And I thought that was really interesting, because, you know, like you mentioned, we're getting into this point where it's just screen, 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 screen. When is enough enough? You know, I mean, a phone to me, I think, is enough, but who knows? I might have the glasses and they're even, you know, this closer to me now. So it really is going to be an interesting future, an interesting decade of AI, as I like to say.
Oh, totally. So how many guests have you interviewed on your show? Let me ask you that.
I think we're going on 10 to 15 now. I've been maybe a little over 15.
Okay, so you've had a good range. I guess and those are all AI related guests, like myself being one of them, right? But what would you say is, like, from, you know, that sample size, and I know you've had a wide range of types of people related to AI on as well. Like, what's like one of the most interesting things that you've learned or discovered from kind of that diversity of interviews that you've had in the AI space?
I think one of the coolest things is a question I try to ask a lot of people if we have time. I can't remember if I'd asked you this one, is, you know, what was your a product or something that you created that at the end of the day did not succeed as well as you thought it did, but you were like, this is gonna be awesome. And the array of answers from that is really fun, because I think a lot of my guests, you know, they talk about their product, what they do, but then it's always fun to talk about those things that really never took off. And, you know, you get answers from, hey, we created this app that helps you find locations when you're on vacation that aren't touristy. And I was like, how in the world did you figure that out? And like, it was his favorite app. He was like, it was so cool. It just did not hit the market like we had planned on it. But I just love that. To other simplified answers where it was just like, I learned a lot from a horrible design of an app that I made, and it was just terrible, but that helped me design the next thing moving forward. So I think that's been one of my more fun questions to ask people, because I think also too, it's to them, man, I created this thing and it didn't take off, but it's near and dear to my heart. And so that's been really fun to ask people about. And just like you said, the array of knowledge that I'm hearing. I mean, sometimes I'll ask a question, people go on for 3-4 minutes and I'm just sitting there going, man, I cannot believe you know so much.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a deep well, man, like of just different perspectives that people have based on what their previous roles are, what they've worked on, where they grew. I mean, it's amazing. That's why I love having a podcast. You just get to talk to so many different people. So,
yeah. And you know me, I tell people this all the time too. I work in construction. That's my day job. I'm a sales rep for a construction company. And being in the AI space where with the podcast, we have to kind of keep up with stuff where things are happening every week. And then you get back to the construction side and you're like, we are kind of far behind, you know? And so trying to integrate those two has been fun because I'm sitting there going, I can utilize this in my job. But it's been challenging too, because you're kind of in an industry where, you know, technology really isn't that big a thing, I would say.
Totally makes sense, man. Well, we are up on time, Ryan. Where can people find you? Where can they find out more about the ChatGPT report? And then we'll take it from there.
Yeah. So I have a podcast on anywhere you listen to your podcast. It's the ChatGPT report, and it is the purple logo. You can find me on X, ChatGPT report. Again, the purple logo, and on LinkedIn, same name and everything. And I got an email too. If you want to email me with any questions or anything, thechatgptreport@gmail.com.
Love it, man. Well, thanks for being on, dude. It was great spending some time with you, flipping sides and just getting your perspective. So thanks for being on, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. Really appreciate it, man.
All right. And thank you for joining me. And I will see you on the next episode. Thank you for checking out the Scale Up Show. My mission in life is to help founders and revenue leaders avoid all the pain and suffering in revenue growth so they can flip it and create a life of their own design. So if you enjoyed this show, please like, review, share it on social, and more importantly, just share it with a friend. Share it with someone that you think could learn and benefit from what you heard on today. But the more we get the message out, the more people we could help, the bigger the impact we make, and the bigger the community gets, which helps everybody. So once again, thank you for being a loyal listener. I appreciate you and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.